In the name of our triune God, who is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. We want the church to be, and in many ways it should be, a haven, an oasis, a respite from the pain and anxiety of this world. There is already enough stress in our lives and in our jobs and in our families. We expect the church to be a place where people respect one another, cooperate with one another, even love one another. The church should be a place of stability and comfort. But we know that that's not always true. Sometimes even the best Christian people have differences of opinion and disagree. Sometimes these disagreements get personal and nasty. Although such things run counter to the church's purposes, we really shouldn't be surprised. Look at what happened way back in the book of Acts, just weeks after Jesus' death, resurrection, and ascension. Even way back then, there was dissension in the church, disagreement, conflict. The particular issue at that time was about the distribution of food to the widows. Widows in those days usually had no means to provide for themselves, and the church took it upon themselves to provide for them. However, it appeared that one group of widows, the Greek ones, were not getting their fair share of the food, and the Jewish ones were. Even among Jesus' first followers, even among people who had known Jesus personally, there was still prejudice and injustice. Then an amazing thing happened. It's something so rare, it's kind of hard for us to believe it actually happened. The matter got settled peacefully, amicably, and to everyone's satisfaction. How could such a miracle happen? No angel appeared to serve as judge. No manna fell from heaven. No holy war was fought. Amazing. Led by the Holy Spirit, no doubt, the 12 had an idea. Let's give some context to that idea. The 12 were Jesus' inner circle, representing the 12 tribes of Israel, formerly called the disciples, with a capital D. The 12 disciples, minus Judas the betrayer, who was replaced by a man named Matthias, who had been an eyewitness to Christ's ministry as well. To these 12 were given the Great Commission by Jesus and sent out into the world to preach the gospel. From then on, they were called the 12 apostles, from the Greek word meaning to send out. The 12 had positions of leadership in the church. They viewed their ministry of being one of word and prayer. That means that they would preach the gospel, they would administer the sacraments, which are visible words, and they would lead God's people in prayer. In the church, along with the 12, there were many other disciples. That's disciples with a small d. These were the other followers of Jesus and people learning the Christian way. The word disciple comes from the Greek for student. These disciples spread God's word by acts of charity and love. From among them were set apart 7 people to ministries of service. They were called deacons, from the Greek word to serve. So the 12's solution to the problem was a logical division of labor, with the apostles doing the preaching, baptizing, and presiding at Holy Communion, and the deacons performing acts of mercy in Jesus' name, such as running the soup kitchen. Although these two were different offices, it did not mean that one was more glorious or esteemed than the other. Both preaching and serving have their dignity. Both are necessary, and their functions complement one another. There are many roles to be played in God's kingdom, and each one of us gets a part. God doesn't leave anybody with nothing to do. As far as we know, no minutes exist from that historic meeting in Acts, which helped define how we do ministry in the church still today. Yet there are some things about that conflict and its resolution that are instructive for the church today, and especially for me in the early days of my ministry here. Let's draw out some of those points. They can help the church to be the caring, cooperative institution it is meant to be, and help us to be the loving, peaceful people that God wants us to be. It's sort of ironic that the conflict arose out of a good ministry program. No one was trying to lie, cheat, or steal in the food distribution. The purpose was to feed poor widows. That's a good thing. And the people who were doing this were good Christian people. We see then that even people of goodwill with good intentions can have genuine disagreements over means and methods of service. There are often several good ways to do things and many positive things that could be done, and different people may prioritize them differently. I always say that if two people agree on everything, then probably only one of them is really thinking. Which is not to say that there are not good, better, and best ways to do things, and that there are also not bad, worst, and worst ways as well. But how we make those judgments varies from person to person. It's okay to disagree. We need to consider and debate and do due diligence. But it's not okay to get hurtful or disrespectful of others just because they don't agree with us. When we try to force things to be our way, when we refuse to try to see the other's point of view, sin can creep in. Sin and evil permeate even the best ministries and the best people. Sin is always lurking at the door. Maybe the widows not getting fed was an honest mistake. Maybe it was due to bias, either conscious or unconscious. Sometimes slights are just imagined, which doesn't seem to be the case there in Acts, but it really does happen. Regardless, it's easy for us to demonize those who disagree with us, to think the worst of them. And that's definitely not okay. Luther's explanation of the Ten Commandments tells us to explain our neighbor's words and actions in the most charitable way, to give them the benefit of the doubt, and to always rise to their defense. After all, who are we to judge? Our neighbors are just the same as we are, sinners for whom Jesus bled and died. Who are we to be harsh with God's children when God has been so kind to us? It appears the decision of the apostles and the deacons to divide labor equitably was done without anger, without threats, without name-calling. That decision was reached calmly, rationally, and respectfully. Even lovingly. That's a model for us all. We must realize, as hard as it is for us to accept, that it's possible, just possible, sometimes we might be wrong and not know it. Sometimes the best thing God can do for us is not answer our prayers, because what we ask for would be very bad for us indeed. So we make our choices best on our best understanding of the situation. We play by the rules. We pray for God's guidance. And we leave the rest in his almighty hands. We can trust God to do what is right in his time and in his way. That's not easy, I know. We like to be in control. Many of us were raised, as I was, with the philosophy, winning isn't everything, it's the only thing. We want to win every argument, and if that means destroying our opponent, then so be it. Contrary to that, our Christian faith tells us that we find peace when we let go and let God. There is real grace in letting someone else have their way sometimes, even if we don't happen to disagree. There's an old slogan in churches: in essentials, unity; in non-essentials, charity. It's nice to know that the weight of the whole world isn't on our individual shoulders, and that we're saved by faith. We're not saved by being right all the time. Christ bore the weight of the cross, and that we have faith in him and what he did is all that really matters. In his mercy, God gives us way to make decisions and do his will in the church and in the world. He guides us through his word. Often he gives us good leaders. And most of all, he grants us his Holy Spirit to lead us and guide us. That's why things worked out so well in the book of Acts, today's reading. And things can work out that way in churches and families and homes still today. God really is working out all things according to his purposes and for the benefit of those who love him. And often he does this in unseen, inscrutable ways. He always does that, even here, even now. The church really can be that haven, that oasis, that respite that we want and need it to be. And you can trust in God, and you can be part of his love-filled church, and you can be at peace both now and forever. Amen.